Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host.
Hey, hey, welcome back. And as always, thanks for listening. Lately, I've been pretty busy. Been doing music, church music. I have recently been put in charge of a praise team, and due to a sudden resignation of our music minister, I've been filling in for parts, not all, of his job. So, been a busy little beaver, this guy. I do want to throw some observations, though, because there's something very unique about the particular church that I go to. And, be very honest, it's just the fact that people don't do music that way much anymore. So, this falls under the idea that times, they are a-changin'. The immigrant generation is going away. They're dying off or switching over, to be very honest. Now, some of you people may be thinking, immigrant, who the heck's that? Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away, Christian contemporary music started. And more than anyone, I believe one person, actually several, but one in particular, a guy by the name of Chris Christian, started doing music a different way. And this was way back, 70s, 80s type thing, ancient history. Another guy named Brown Bannister, from that same generation. They just started doing stuff differently, and there was a young lady they ran into whose name was Amy Grant, and they made her pretty much the queen of Christian music. Sounds kind of weird, though, doesn't it? Queen of Christian music. But in her day, definitely super, super popular. There's still some holdovers. Michael W. Smith is a holdover from that age. And several others. And I could throw a whole bunch of names at you. But I'm going to say that to say this. That kind of music where people do solos now, big solos. You see a lot of that still in Southern Gospel, but not in mainline Christian music anymore. Instead, what you have is a praise person with a praise team backing them. That's kind of, and that person will, usually end up playing either guitar or keyboard or both. A lot of the worship degrees now, and they don't call them music degrees, it's interesting. They call them worship leadership, have dumbed down the music a whole lot. Where basically you just, you learn how to play the guitar, you learn how to play the keyboard, you do those two things, and then that's it. And then maybe you'll have hymnology. But, getting back to the original idea. Oh, well, you said your church just sings kind of strange. Well, not strange, actually, just old style. Very old style. They still, first of all, have a choir. Choirs, in the way that they're done and in their entirety, are disappearing completely. As a matter of fact, I know a pretty large church in East Texas that got a new pastor, and the very first thing the pastor did, one of the first things anyway, was to get rid of the choir. And then, of course, he set up a praise team. That's the first thing. Still got a choir. Old folks, yes, but a choir. Second thing is, we have an orchestra. These are not just 4 or 5 people. I mean, there's like 15 people involved in this, 15 to 20 in this orchestra. And it's interesting how many people out there play instruments. And I think it's pretty cool, actually, because people, a lot of times, they'll learn instruments when they're in high school or junior high or what have you. And then they'll stick those things under the bed. But they'll never quite forget how to do it. And then they have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to do something right there. But having an orchestra, not super big thing anymore. You don't see that in a lot of places. Now, you'll see a few instruments, and people have, you know, the holdover of what was an orchestra, but not truly an orchestra. Now, the other thing, though, that we do is we still do hymns. Hymns. One of the few things that they still study in even worship leadership classes is hymns. Why? Hymns are in many ways uniquely to the church. And they teach things. That's what they're designed to do. A lot of teaching comes through a hymn. Each stanza. Hymns have their own little set way of, just like modern songs are put together, in a certain way, A, B, A, B, C, A, B, something like that. Hymns are put together in a very special way. And they're pretty cool. Although, a lot of the music people like, man, let's update that stuff. And they have. And some of the updates are really awesome. But hymns. Don't see hymns very much. Now, here's the thing. Is that a bad thing? If you don't have all that stuff, is it a bad thing to have just, a music guy who can either, play the guitar like Led Zeppelin or, and sing like Bruno Mars, and then play keyboard, like, like crazy. Is it such a bad thing? And then they have the praise team is kind of behind them, so really the praise team's kind of like backup singers for the dude. I'll be honest, I've been that dude. When I did music years ago, I filled in what they call music supply for churches, and a lot of the churches had what they call hybrid services. Hybrid being, they had the new choruses and all that, and they also had the old stuff, the hymns, and they used them both. I was actually on staff as a music guy and led the service with a guitar. Now, so you're not hearing this from somebody who hasn't actually done that. Here's the complication, I think, that, and by the way, praise bands, praise teams are even starting to disappear now, and what they're evolving into is you now are evolving into one guy who has a bunch of pre-recorded stuff on an iPad. He may have four or five iPads, may have all this pre-recorded stuff, but he's got all this jazz, or she has all this jazz recorded, and then boom. Because now it's getting to the point where, really, if you think about it, you don't actually have to have a band anymore. You don't have to have a bunch of people in a room playing instruments. You can play each instrument, you know, computerized, and then record each segment, and then mix that joker down, and then woohoo, off you go. And you got some pretty cool, awesome stuff. You can back yourself up, singing different parts. You can change the pitch. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's technology. So you don't even have to have humans anymore. More and more, it seems. This is my concern, I think, getting back to the thing. When you have one person in front, doing the praise team, doing the praise, leading everything, by themselves, or with what looks like backup singers, that puts an undue emphasis on that person. And sometimes that can go to your head. Does it go to every praise leader's head? I don't know. I don't think so. But it can. People are human. You put that much on one human, and yeah, that can be that way. They can get really convinced that they're really good. Maybe they are good. Maybe they're really good. Maybe they ought to be on The Voice. Maybe they ought to be on American Idol. Well, and there's plenty of people on American Idol and The Voice that say, yeah, I led a church praise team. You'll see that. Now, again, you know, is that a bad thing? It depends. If they get sucked into it and start believing the hype about themselves, man, that was awesome. That was awesome. That was the best praise service. Oh, man. Oh, man. You know, you start believing the hype and not redirecting that where it's supposed to go, that can be a problem. So, first problem is, it can really go crazy on the ego. But, here's another kind of glitch in that system. And that is, that worship is supposed to be a corporate thing. Music is better when it's shared. And that means a lot of times what you run into is if you have a praise guy, worship leader, quote unquote, and then a praise team behind him backing him up, then it's not a worship corporate thing where everyone feels like they're doing it. Instead, what you're getting is a concert. You get a mini concert every Sunday. Now, most people think, oh, man, that's cool. That's awesome. That's fantastic. You know, how absolutely wild is that? But the complication is, again, God wants to hear from all of us. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what it says. All ye lands. That joyful noise may be blooming off key. That may really stink. You may sound horrifying. But you know something? If you're making a joyful noise to the Lord, He doesn't care if you're on key. Everyone else does. But He doesn't care. If you are truly worshiping Him with your heart, He doesn't care if you're on key. God wants to hear a joyful noise. Well, that is totally not the thought process behind most Christian music now. Everything's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be harmonized. Everything's got to be on key. Everybody's got to come in and cut off at the same dang time. Everything's got to be perfect. Now, and they'll tell you, we need to give our best to the Lord. Well, okay, so our best voices, the best, you know, the best performers, the best instrumentalists, the best, Well, what about everybody else? So what are they going to do? Are they supposed to stand there and watch everybody else do stuff? That's not how that's supposed to work. Now, can we get blessed in the congregation by watching the service and doing that? That's great, but it's supposed to be participation. It's supposed to be participation. Everyone, no matter what you sound like, are supposed to just be able to enjoy singing to the Lord together with everyone else. Now, a lot of people say, well, no, we do that. And, okay, all right, that's awesome. Now, I know that certain Christian authors have slammed the ever-loving heck out of choruses because they say, well, you're whipping them into an altered state of consciousness. Okay. But I've seen people worship, and I've seen them sing, and you know, I gotta tell you, the best services that I've ever seen, music services, were led by a guy in a piano who encouraged everyone to sing. That dude's name was Keith Gray, and he was a master at the piano. But he was the masters, and that's what I loved most about Keith, he drew it out of the crowd. It was really a great experience. Now, was he by himself with a piano up on stage? Was it kind of a concert kind of thing? Yeah, it was. But you know something? He resisted that. He resisted that by trying to get everyone to participate in the music. It's interesting. Yeah, have a look and listen sometime to some of the concerts or the music services that they did. Also, I'm going to have to say, Michael W. Smith does a really dang good participatory kind of thing as well. But I do think that a lot of people are feeling disconnected from their roots, from their Christian roots, from their roots of faith. And some people really like hearing the old music because it reminds them of where we came from. And I think the thing about hearing the old music, and by that I mean hymns, it does remind you where you came from. It reminds us what happened back when, and then brings us and lets us look at ourselves now. But also, I love choruses, the praise choruses, because that sings to the things that are new. So, I'm really hoping that we always have some kind of environment for people to be able to use their musical talent to play instruments. Not just guitar, not just drums, not just bass, not just singing, like a rock star, but letting people participate in the service. As many people, I love to see a lot of people on the platform. I love to see that. I just do. And it really warms my heart to see instruments up there, people using God's given gift to play instruments, whatever they are. I also love to see the choir. I mean, I understand that's like old school. And people are just boom, you know, they're like, choir, I need a choir, oh, what a choir. But you know something? There's something about four-part harmony, man. If you hear it and it's awesome, it is crazy awesome good. And I'm going to say this. There are Churches of Christ, and I'm not Church of Christ, but I'm just going to tell you, I visited a student center one time with Churches of Christ. That particular group of them did not have instruments. They sang completely without instruments. It was the most amazing sound I ever heard because it was like 20-part harmony. It was awesome. I think the SATB, soprano, alto, tenor, bass situation, and then you can just keep on going from there, the baritones and second tenors and second altos, and you can just add those. I think that totally adds some awesome, awesome things. Just hearing a really good choir, that many voices, it's moving, I think. Now, some people may say, yeah, it moves me. It moves me to the door. That's what it moves me to. But seriously, some of that stuff is just awesome. It's amazing. It's like, you know, it's like going into a cathedral where you see the building and you're just like, oh man, look at that. That's so beautiful. So I hope that as church music evolves, and it will evolve, we don't forget where we came from. And we don't lose out on some just beautiful music. I think we take that and take it into the future with us. I really do. I do want to let you know that eventually I'm not going to be on SoundCloud any longer. I'm not going to be posting a ton of new material. I'm going to move to Acast. The letter A, C-A-S-T, Acast. I'm already on there, and you can listen to me over there. But eventually, the SoundCloud platform I'm not going to be using. So, just wanted to warn you, okay? For those of you that have been with me for the years that I've been posting on SoundCloud, God love you. God bless you. Please don't leave me. go to the Acast site because I'm definitely going to be posting things there. And hopefully once I make the complete transition, I'll be posting a lot more regular. My goal is to post at least twice a week. That's my goal. It's not what's happening currently, but that is my goal. So, with that in mind, I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Speak It On. And as always, don't be afraid to speak the word in boldness and truth. And may God bless all of your efforts.